Hello again, everyone, and welcome to it. It's the Thursday edition of the Daily Daily Caller Podcast for the 15th day of August 2019. I am Mr. Rourke, your host. Welcome to Fantasy Podcast. I am Derek Hunter. I am your host. Welcome to the program. Thank you for listening. Thanks for sharing. Thanks for telling a friend, spreading the word, and all that good stuff. It's really easy to do, and it really makes a big, big difference. I love getting emails going, oh, I turned my kid onto it, or I turned my parents onto it, or whatever. I stole somebody's phone and subscribed them to it. Try not to describe a felony in emails to me. I would appreciate it. I ain't going to tell anybody, but I would still appreciate it very, very much. You've got until 10 a.m. today, Thursday the 15th. They always get the emails when it's too late. There's always a couple of you, and I always have to send that, sorry, you missed it. You've got until 10 a.m. Thursday, so you really have to listen to this on iTunes. And listen to it first thing in the morning, in which case, good morning. Enjoy your cornflakes. To enter to win the signed copies of the Liz Wheeler book. It's that simple. I have the Friday interview recording today, and the drawing will be done then. So if you don't get it in by 10 a.m., you don't get it in. And a ton of you have entered, so you want your shot. Here it is. A lot of things to get to. The Philly standoff, of course. We're going to talk about the exploitation of that while it was ongoing. Democrats say, well, here's how you solve this problem. And then a funny thing happened. The truth came out, and none of the things that the Democrats were proposing would have done it. It's actually a failure of government. I'll explain all of that and much, much more. But first, I've got to tell you why I sound like I have a new pep in my step. And I do. And it's because of Life Change Tea. It's a game changer, as they say. Since I've been drinking Life Change Tea, I've noticed I'm feeling much better. And I have a ton more energy. I get so much. I'm chasing two kids around the house. The little one, is she 10 months old now? She's crawling so fast and standing up on everything, and you got to dive every time she starts to fall or the other one pushes her down or tries to. Resilient kids, but also kind of mean. Not deliberately. They just lean against each other, and the bigger one doesn't get that you can't lean against the little one. Anyway, how does Life Change Tea work? Life Change Tea is a proprietary herbal formula. It is a gentle daily cleanse, as they say, designed to flush your body out of harmful intruders. And flush it does. Trust me on that one. Drink as directed. Let's face it, our food was different 60, 70, 80, 100 years ago. It was minimally processed, if at all, free of pesticides. It was natural, nourishing, healthy for your body. Today, no, not really. GMOs, pesticides, herbicides, and heavy processing have depleted nutrition from our foods. It's no wonder you feel run down. Then you've got all that stuff stopping the absorption of every last bit of nutrients from your food. Well, get Life Change Tea, and that will change. That'll clean you out. Go to GetTheTea.com now. That's GetTheTea.com. You help support the program. Anything you can do to help support the sponsors, I appreciate the hell out of. You'll get ready for more energy. I drink it every day. It tastes pretty damn good, too. I was surprised by that, because most of this stuff, you just like, and kind of have to hold your nose and do it like a shot. Not this. It's a sipping tea, and it gets results. Go to GetTheTea.com, and as an added bonus, just for you, the people who listen to my dulcet tones, you enter the promo code Derek at checkout, my name, and you get free shipping. You can't beat that deal. Enter Derek at checkout and get free shipping and get yourself on the way to cleaning all of that stuff out of you. Get ready for more energy, more pep in your step. All righty. The situation up in Philadelphia has resolved itself. The guy has surrendered to police after an hours-long stand-up. He was taken alive. His name, at least as of now, is, I'll just give his first name in case this changes, because I'm always weary of anything in the first 24 hours. The name being reported, I'll give the whole name and just cite where it's being reported. The Philadelphia Inquirer is reporting that the alleged cop shooter who shot and injured, thankfully only injured, six police officers is a guy named Maurice Hill, 36 years old. And he was taken into custody. He finally surrendered. His lawyers were down there. Everybody was negotiating, trying to get him to come out. There's a lot to unpack about this story. Cheering crowds, yelling and throwing crap at the police. And you wonder, why are neighborhoods so crappy? Why are people so crappy? You know, crappy people, when they congregate, guess what happens to a neighborhood when you get a bunch of crappy people in it? Of course, you don't really get a bunch of crappy people in a neighborhood without a bunch of crappy politicians telling them for years, the police are out to get you. Don't watch out for the police. There, the police are the real problems. Yes, the police, even if every death involving police were deliberate and a horrible, deliberate, monstrous, racist act, that would be but a drop in the bucket of all the murders committed in this country per year. But the left doesn't want you to focus on the big picture. They don't want you to think that the police have the answers. The left is the party of, you know, Black Lives Matter and what do we want? Dead cops. When do we want it now? And pigs in a blanket. Fry them like bacon. They get political mileage out of telling people that their problems that are self-created aren't really your fault. No, no, no. It's society's fault. It's the police's fault. Whatever you want to blame it on, whatever it is, it's not you. They act like their Pope up there in a big funny hat, waving their arms, absolving people of all the bad decisions that they made. And when you do that, as I've said before, guess what you get? More bad decisions, because it's not their fault. Well, before we get into the history here of the alleged shooter, and I don't know how alleged the guy is when you're the only guy in a house shooting at police officers, and then you come out and the shooting stops. I think there's a pretty direct correlation there. But for legal purposes, the alleged shooter, before we get into any of that, let's talk a little bit about the pre-action to it. And I didn't mispronounce that word. It is a pre-action, or actually during action, but before we knew anything, Democrats had the answers. They knew what the problem and the solution were. Well, they knew what the solution was. They were just waiting for the problem, kind of like climate change. Democrats have these quote-unquote solutions floating around in their heads, their wish list of things to have government take over. You know, they want more government power. They want government to run healthcare. They want government to super heavily regulate businesses, if not take them over completely, which ultimately is their goal. They want higher taxes. They want, you name it, they want it. So they look for vessels. They have these so-called solutions. They look for vessel issues to glom them onto like a parasite. Just put it right on there. And then they say, well, this, our solutions will solve this problem. And then when the problem changes, or when the problem goes away or is fixed another way, they say, don't worry, we'll take the solution back. And we'll just hold it in our pocket, ready to glom it onto something else. This has, of course, been exemplified beautifully and perfectly in the climate change arena. Back in the 1970s, you can go back and find it. I found a bunch of them for my book. You can find examples of the coming ice age. Oh, my goodness. If you were just north of the equator, you were likely going to have a glacier in your backyard. It was going to be hell. The world's population was going to start starving because large swaths of farmland were going to be too cold to farm. Plants, it's going to be too cold to grow. That was the scientific consensus back in the 70s. Going back, and I found an example of Betty Friedan writing in, I think it was Harper's Magazine, back in the 1950s, the mid-1950s, talking about the coming ice age. And look out, we're all going to die. Well, that didn't pan out because our climate always, always fluctuates. We used to be mostly covered in ice. Now we're not. And not a single SUV was started to end that. So, yeah, it's really kind of dependent on that big ball of fire in the sky, mostly. But when the climate cooling, the global cooling, stopped being operative, all the solutions, by the way, that the left were proposing to quote-unquote fix that they suddenly switch to, oh my God, the climate is warming. And that now is humans' fault. The cooling was humans' fault. Now the warming is humans' fault. But don't worry, we've got the solution. And it was the exact same solution. Same sets of regulations, taxes, mandates, you name it. Government takeovers, everything you can possibly imagine, everything in their bag of tricks. It didn't matter what the problem was, the solution remained the same. And if somebody tells you they have the solution for one thing, and then it turns out that the situation you're dealing with is the exact opposite, and they still have the solution, and it's the same thing, they're lying to you. They're opportunistic. They just want what they're pushing. It doesn't matter if it addresses it or not. They'd prefer you not to think of it. The only thing that is a solution for every single problem is to send in The Rock. Dwayne Johnson. He can pretty much solve every problem. Anything short of that is somebody selling you something. So this situation in Philadelphia, while it was ongoing, while sporadic gunfire was still coming out of the house at police officers, a Democrat called Val Demings, who is a member of Congress in the House of Representatives from, that's a little redundant, from Florida, was on CNN. And don't worry, she didn't know what the problem was, but damn it if she didn't know what the solution was. Listen to her talk without knowing a damn thing. Now, why journalists would bother asking somebody these questions, let alone let them go off on this for so long, will forever remain a mystery until, of course, you realize that this, my friends, is CNN.
Saw the mass shooting in El Paso and Dayton. Now what's going on in Philadelphia? You're a former police chief in Orlando, and you're following this conversation that we're all having about gun control in America. What's missing from the conversation that's going on right now?
What's missing from the conversation is that every poll shows you that the overwhelming majority of the American people are in favor of background checks, for example. And so the question is, why is the Senate refusing to move legislation that we passed in the House months ago? The other part of this conversation, I doubt very seriously that if this shooter in Philadelphia was armed simply with a handgun, that this gun battle would be going on well beyond an hour. I think we can assume that he is also heavily armed with high capacity rifles or weapons, and also has high capacity magazines. So while we look at passing legislation that requires that every gun sale, every person involved in a gun sale has to go through a background check, we really need to have a serious discussion about getting these weapons of war. And doggone it, today is a clear indication of that, as the men and women of blue are under fire in Philadelphia. We need to get these high capacity weapons and magazines off of our streets.
And eyewitnesses say they've already heard.
I left that last little bit in there to show you that Wolf Blitzer didn't follow in and say, well, we don't actually have any reporting on any sort of weaponry that he has inside the house right now. We don't know what is in there. And neither did the Congresswoman. But damn it, she had a solution for it. But Wolf Blitzer really should have, as a journalist, stepped in and said, we have not independently verified what the Congresswoman is spewing here. Even if he wasn't going to challenge her on her policy subscriptions. You know, we need more background checks, as if this guy went to a gun dealer and purchased whatever weapons he had legally. More on that in a second, and more on that in a second as well. But Congresswoman Demings was not to be outdone. She was not alone. She was not going to sit. The Democrats came out in full force. They all had solutions to this problem as it was ongoing. Mind you, what you just heard the Congresswoman say, it was during the standoff, while shots were still being fired. One report I saw said shots were fired randomly at about every 40 minutes. There was no stretch of more than 40 minutes where they hadn't heard shots. So, and by the way, it's not super easy to own a gun in Philadelphia if it's even legal. You know, it's tough to get a gun, just like Baltimore with all the murders. You can't really get a gun in Baltimore. In Detroit, you can't really get a gun. Chicago, you can't really get a gun. Yet, curiously, all these places have really high murder rates. What's going on? It's almost like criminals don't follow the law. Huh, weird. Again, more on that in a second. But more on this now. And here's a moron. Kamala Harris was on later. And she, too, has a solution to a problem she doesn't know anything about. Again, this is during the standoff. No arrests had been made. There was no knowledge of what was actually going on in the House. It didn't matter. She's running for president. She's got a solution. She just needs to find a problem.
This committee is joining us here in the Situation Room. Very disturbing development indeed. Your former Attorney General of California. What's your reaction to these initial reports? And I stress the word initial reports.
Well, it's just, when will it stop, right? I mean, part of my focus on what we need to do around guns, smart gun safety laws, is recognize that we have to have more enforcement around gun dealers. Wolf, 90% of the guns that are associated with crime are sold by just 5% of the gun dealers in the United States. And so among the many plans that I have, both in the form of executive action and also in the form of legislation, one of them is to put more resources into the ATF to take the licenses of gun dealers who violate the law. And that includes a number of things, including when they're responsible for doing background checks, not doing them.
So, but does your plan go, from your perspective, far enough?
I want to stop it right there for a second to remind you how dumb a human being Wolf Blitzer is. Did you hear that question? Does your plan, from your perspective, go far enough? What kind of answer is Wolf Blitzer expecting here? This is going to be a little tangent here, but I really just despise stupidity from people in positions of authority and people who are imbued. If you're on TV, you're automatically granted credibility. It's a sad truth. And I write about this in my book, too. I'm not pimping my book, but you should buy my book, Outrage Incorporated. If you're on TV, the average viewer who doesn't listen to this podcast, but should, thinks, oh, well, they have this guest on to talk about subject X. That means that this guest must know something about subject X. They must be an expert, because the layers of people who decide for a career who gets on television, on news programming, to talk to us about certain things, should, they know what they're talking about. These layers make sure that riffraff, you know, they're not just interviewing some homeless high school dropout with a meth problem about the situation going on in Hong Kong right now, right? You think that, because that's what you should think, because that's what they should do. But that's not what they do. Ladies and gentlemen, they don't check it. Most of the time, it's, hey, are you available? Hey, is somebody available? Anybody want to do this? Or this person's on the payroll, so let's put them on. We're paying them. We might as well use them. They're getting a giant salary, so let's have them on television talking about this issue. And if you see somebody on television talking about, I'll give anybody the benefit of the doubt, that they could be pretty knowledgeable on up to three topics, knowledgeable to the standards that if I were running a cable news network, they would be able to get on three different topics. But they would have had to have either studied it in school or worked in that field professionally, done it firsthand, or have some kind of connection to it. Those three criteria. Or maybe done some original reporting on it. I would probably bring in real journalists and try and talk to people with firsthand knowledge directly involved in it. But that would be it. Instead, it's, well, we haven't used this person in a while. Let's use them. Or management is pushing us to use this person. Let's get this person out there and they can read an Associated Press story. It's a 5-minute segment anyway. What does it matter? So let's talk to them about it. And we'll get their feelings about it. And you always say, well, they'll sound off on it coming up next. That means that you're about to get the equivalent of a conversation that if it were happening at a table in a restaurant next to you, you would ask to be moved. You are not going to get any useful information. You could occasionally get an interesting take or an interesting thought, but the person's thought is not news because it's not informed. It's just their opinion. And the same goes for hosts. And Wolf Blitzer is a prime example of that. When Jeopardy came to Washington, D.C. a few years ago, probably a decade ago now, Wolf Blitzer was on the D.C. Celebrity Jeopardy. I don't know that he ever answered a question right. He was negative money by the time Final Jeopardy came around. He was out. He was done. His charity got the also-ran check. Here's a gift certificate to the Sizzler. And thanks for playing, Wolf. Give that to your charity. But he's not a very bright man. So him asking Kamala Harris, does your plan go far enough in your opinion? What is she going to say? No, Wolf, I think my plan is actually horribly insufficient, but what are you going to do? You know, I've signed my name to it, and that's the plan I'm running with. Of course she's not going to say that. Does your plan go far enough? What an absolute moron. So, yes, I recommend you wean yourself off of cable news as much as humanly possible and read as many sources as you can. Watch like Brett Baer's show, because that is interesting. That's actual news. Watch even the nightly news. It's horribly biased, but they'll at least convey you information. The talking shows, the talking head shows, and I say this as somebody who goes on occasionally when I feel like driving down there, which isn't all that often. They're not qualified. You're just getting somebody else's opinion. The host could just do a monologue for it. Could become this show. It could just be somebody giving a monologue for an hour. Instead, they bring in other people to help do the monologue, because you're not, unless you're interviewing a newsmaker, you're not getting firsthand information. Anyway, let's go back to Dimwitted Wolf and listen to Kamala Harris's answer to his stupid question. Does your plan go far enough, do you think, for you?
So, but does your plan go, from your perspective, far enough?
Well, there are a variety of things. First of all, let's be clear. I have hugged too many mothers of homicide victims over the years. I have looked at more autopsy photographs than I care to tell you of people whose lives have been ended because of gun violence. We need Congress to act. We do not lack for good ideas. We do not lack for tragedies. The failure of Congress, however, the United States Congress, to act on passing smart gun safety laws is the issue. So when elected, I'll give the United States Congress 100 days to pull their act together on this and put a bill on my desk for signature. And if they do not, I am prepared to take executive action to, one, put in place a comprehensive background check requirement, two, put the resources into the ATF to take the licenses from gun dealers who violate the law, and three, to ban the importation of assault weapons.
I love her answer, not because I think it's an intelligent answer. It's because I think it's a telling answer. She is articulating the Barack Obama philosophy of governance. Wolf doesn't have any kind of follow-up question that has anything to do with principle. Again, he's a very, very dim-witted human being. Her answer tells you about her character and her respect for the Constitution. It tells you about the Democratic Party, because her beliefs are not unique to her. She says, if elected, I'll give Congress 100 days to do what I want them to do, or I will do it anyway. Which begs the question, then, why do we need a Congress? Because Congress not acting is Congress acting. Congress choosing not to act is a choice. Congress is not mandated to act on anything. This happened a lot during the Obama administration, particularly on, well, you name the issue. If he didn't get what he wanted, and he tried, and he whined, and he moaned, and he gave speeches around the country, and read the teleprompter very convincingly, shed a tear or two, and then said, well, to hell with it, then it's so important that I must act on my own. Well, the Congress represents the people, especially the House of Representatives, but the Senate too, now that we've changed the way that senators are elected, which was incredibly stupid. They have no moral, legal, constitutional, or any type of obligation to act on anything whatsoever. realistically. Them not acting is a choice. So when you get President Obama saying, we've got to protect the dreamers, and Congress says, no, and most of us say no, therefore no bill will be coming your way. We will not, as a government, be acting and legislatively on dreamers. Then Barack Obama goes, well, then it's so important, I must act on my own. Well, if Barack Obama had the authority to act on his own, why was he waiting for Congress? What was the point of waiting for Congress? If there is clear, unambiguous language that gives the President of the United States the ability to rewrite immigration law in this country, why was he waiting? Did he like messing with the kids? Huh? So if Kamala Harris, God forbid, and God help us all, if she's ever elected president of the United States, and Congress must act on gun violence or smart gun legislation or sensible gun legislation or whatever crap spin they put on it, and she says, I will give them 100 days, and if they don't do exactly what I want, I'll do it anyway. If what she wants to do anyway is so damned important that Congress must act, why would she wait 100 days? Why would you allow 100 days of more murders, more carnage, more shootings, more horrible instances? Why, as president, would you sit idly by, twiddling your thumbs, waiting for Congress to do something, and then at the end of it, if they didn't go, all right, screw it, I'm going to do it anyway? Wouldn't you then theoretically have 100 days worth of blood on your hands? Given the number of murders in this country, that would be hundreds of people. Why would you sit back idly and let that happen, Senator Harris? Wolf Blitzer doesn't think in those terms. That would be too logical. But the real question would be, what do we need Congress for in the first place? If Congress doesn't do your bidding, Madam President, then you're going to bypass them. Because we could save a hell of a lot of money if you could find the secret codes in the Constitution that says the president, if Congress doesn't act, hereby has the authority to say screw it and do it anyway. Because we can get rid of Congress. We can get rid of all their staff. We could get rid of a ton of people that are just, frankly, dead weight in government. Send them back home. Let them live under the rules that they've passed in the past and see how well they like it. Of course, nobody's talking about that, and Kamala Harris won't be asked about that. She won't be asked simple questions like, where do you get the statutory authority to just enact these things? Because they don't care. Now, when Donald Trump does things, suddenly you can't use this money here over there to build a wall. Absolutely not. It is an abuse of power and an impeachable offense. But if I want to start taking a hammer and sickle, hammer and chisel, paging Dr. Freud. If you want to take a hammer and chisel to the Second Amendment, then go right ahead and do it. Bang that sucker out. Let's do this thing. It's for the common good, after all. Beware of anybody who tells you they're doing something for the common good. I'm always weary of anybody who says that, and anybody who talks about government as, I've spent my whole life in public service. No, you've spent your whole life on the government dole. They get a good salary. It's not, FU money. But they get insider stock deals. They get all kinds of sweet deals. And you wouldn't believe the expense accounts that these guys get up on Capitol Hill. They get food allowances. They get their travel. They can pretty much go wherever the hell they want. They can fly back and forth as often as they want. And it's no big deal. They don't pay for it. We do. So, yes, there you have Kamala Harris with a solution to a problem she doesn't know, but she's got the solution ready to go. And if Congress won't give her what she wants, because I think somebody who says, if you don't do what I want, I'm going to do it anyway, that's kind of a dictator. Weren't all these pearl clutchers in the media telling us that Donald Trump is just this side of a tyrant? He's moving, it's a big threat to our democracy. Well, what would a president who bypasses the democratically and directly elected, the only directly elected branch of government, what would that be if an executive bypassed that to impose their own will? I'm pretty sure it's not a democracy. Call me crazy, but I just don't see that. By the way, on the one more thing on the Second Amendment, then I'll tell you about the Philadelphia shooter, what we know so far, the alleged shooter. Sorry. One more thing about the Second Amendment. I want you to hear Kirsten Gillibrand. I can't remember if she's Kristen or Kirsten. Neither can voters. She is desperate. She is in a death spiral in her campaign. But she, too, I believe, was on CNN and asked, but she was, in fact, on CNN, and she was asked about the so-called assault weapons. Of course, nobody can define what an assault weapon is. What they really mean is a semi-automatic weapon, which is code for, well, a semi-automatic weapon is one finger, one trigger pull, one bullet shot, and you can pull the trigger as many times as you want until you run out of rounds, and that's it. It's not a musket. It's not a shotgun, you know, where you've got to load a couple of shells. It's not a double-barrel shotgun. It is a one-trigger-pull, one-bullet-fired device, which is just about every gun sold in this country. So when they talk about, I want to ban assault weapons to make people safe, they're pretty much talking about every gun in the country. They want to ban every gun in the country. They talk about assault weapons, but they can't define what that means. It's basically if Arnold Schwarzenegger, Bruce Willis, The Rock, Vin Diesel, if they've carried it in a movie, then it's an assault weapon because it's a big, scary gun. When realistically, most of those guns are about the same. They're just dressed up differently. The design of the gun is different. They don't care. They just want to ban some so that they can get on with banning more because they'll always want to ban more. Well, Kirsten Gillibrand wants to ban more. She wants to ban so-called assault weapons. And more than that, there's an interesting phrase used in this clip. Remember, Kirsten Gillibrand will never sniff the Oval Office. She'll never get close to winning the Democratic Party's nomination. But she is a sitting United States Senator and will likely be there as long as she wants to be because she's elected from New York and a Democrat. She talks about mandatory buybacks, which if Orwell were rolling over in his grave before, he is spinning like a turbine, generating enough energy to power the Eastern Seaboard at the term mandatory buyback. That is confiscation. It is a creative way to put confiscation. You don't want to be out there saying, I'm going to confiscate guns and put anybody in jail who doesn't go for it. But that's exactly what she's talking about here on CNN. Listen.
So on the assault weapons issue, you have talked openly about being in favor of an assault weapons ban. I'm interested if you are supportive of a mandatory buyback program of weapons. It was brought up first by Eric Swalwell, who was running for president in your party. Cory Booker has talked about that. Some have gone as far as to say not only should it be a mandatory buyback of assault rifles, but there should be criminal prosecution for those who don't sell them back. Is that something you support?
So I think we should ban assault weapons as well as large magazines. And as part of passing that ban, do a buyback program across the country so that those who own them can be compensated for their money that they spent. But I think both of those ideas are strong. I think having
mandatory
buyback combined, well, you don't want people to retain them, because if you make them illegal, you don't want to grandfather in all the assault weapons that are all across America. You would like people to sell them back to the government so that you can make sure people who shouldn't have access
because
to these weapons couldn't have them.
The next prong of that is if you're supportive of a mandatory buyback, then the next step is that you then criminally prosecute those who don't sell them back, which could result in jail time for those individuals. Are you supportive of that?
So the point is you don't want people using assault weapons. And so the point is if you are arrested for using an assault weapon, you're going to have an aggravated felony. I mean, the whole point is when you make it a crime to own an assault weapon, then if you are found using it, that would be the issue.
Now, she's a rambling, bambling moron in there, but in there is she's just going to make everybody a felon, a criminal. It's just if you don't voluntarily sell the government your so-called assault weapon, then you become a felon. And this is the crowd that wants to open up the prisons, who whine and complain continually about prison overcrowding. We need to let people out. Nonviolent drug offenders who likely had a gun charge dropped just so they could clear the case in exchange for, oh, you know what, he had a pound of weed on him and a couple of guns and he assaulted a guy. But if you plead guilty to the pound of weed with intent to distribute, we'll give you 18 months with half of it suspended, and we can call it a day and count it as a victory for justice. And then on the books, they go down as a nonviolent drug offender in prison. And then Democrats will champion your release because they are the party of criminals. They want to get people back out to the voting booth as quickly as humanly possible. She's insane. She doesn't know what the hell she's talking about. She can't define what an assault weapon is, but she wants to ban it and then offer a mandatory buyback. So if you paid $500 for a gun, the government's going to give you $200 for the gun. And if you don't take it, the government will make you into a felon. And if they find you, well, you're going to go to prison. Who knows who they'll release in order to make room for you. But you know what? It's all done in the name of justice. So what does it matter? Now we'll get into the actual, what is known at this point, about the alleged shooter in Philadelphia, because as is often the case, it doesn't jive with anything you've heard Democrats spewing, because they just make stuff up as they go along. But before we get to any of that, I got to tell you about our other sponsor today. This episode of the Daily Caller podcast is sponsored also by DoorDash. That's right, DoorDash. You had a long day at work, tough day at school, still stuck at the office? Treat yourself to a meal you deserve and have your favorite restaurants come to you with DoorDash. DoorDash connects you to your favorite restaurants in your city. It really does. We used it last Saturday to get some Cheesecake Factory. I had the Thai chicken wrap things. The appetizers, so damn good. So good. And it came right to the house. It was awesome. Ordering is easy. Open up the DoorDash app, choose what you want to eat, and your food will be delivered to you wherever you are. Not only is it your favorite pizza joint already on there, but there are over 340,000 restaurants in 3,300 cities. You might find a new favorite too. No matter what you got a hankering for, any kind of food, it's there on DoorDash, and it is brought right to you with door-to-door delivery in all 50 states and Canada. And I do get emails from you guys up in Canada, so get on the program. Order from your local goes or choose from your favorite national restaurants like Chipotle, Wendy's, Chick-fil-A, and, like I said, the Cheesecake Factory. I wasn't lying. And don't worry about dinner. Let dinner come to you with DoorDash. And right now, this is where you get the bonus for listening to me. As you should. It should be a bonus every day. Not just my voice and my insights, but we're offering you more. Right now, our listeners, my listeners, can get $5 off your first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter the promo code CALLER. That's right, $5 off your first order right in your pocket. I'm giving you money when you download the DoorDash app from the App Store and enter the promo code CALLER. Don't forget, that's promo code CALLER. $5 off your first order of $15 or more from DoorDash. Try it. It really is. It's great. You used to have to go out and, you know, drive and get takeout. Not anymore. Now you just whip out your smartphone or your tablet, open up the DoorDash app, and it comes right to you. And don't forget the promo code CALLER. Lets them know you heard it here. And it puts $5 right back in your pocket. It's a hell of a deal. It really is. And we did. We ordered Cheesecake Factory for our Saturday movie night. And it was super easy. super fast. It was awesome. It was like being at the restaurant, except sitting in the comfort of your own home, watching your own television. All right, so let's talk about the situation in Philadelphia now that we know a few details. Courtesy of the Philadelphia Inquirer, they reported that the alleged gunman is a guy named Maurice Hill, 36 years old. You just heard Democrats. They've got a solution. They know the solution. We've got to ban assault weapons. We've got to do that. We've got to have stronger background checks so that people like this don't get their hands on guns. We've got to do all these things. Well, let's take a look at what the Philadelphia Inquirer reported. Quote, Hill's history in the adult criminal justice system began in 2001 when he was 18 and was arrested with a gun that had an altered serial number. Now, even if you've only seen cheesy 1960s detective programs, you know that a filed off serial number or an altered serial number on a gun is a big, big no-no. You don't do that for fun. There are very specific reasons that I'll allow you to fill in that people might want to change the identity of a gun. But it's interesting to note that they say that his history in the adult criminal justice system started when he was 18. Implicit in that is that he had a long juvenile history. They can't get into that because all those records are sealed, but wink, wink, nudge, nudge. You can read between the lines there. The story continues. Public records show that he has been arrested about a dozen times since turning 18. Sounds like a hell of a guy. A dozen times since turning 18 and convicted six times on charges that involved illegal possession of guns. Illegal possession of guns. Why, that would mean that he didn't go through a background check. He didn't go to one of those vaunted evil gun dealers that Kamala Harris was going off about. Also drug dealing and aggravated assault. What? This seems like such a nice guy. It must be white supremacy that caused him to do all of these things. Maybe Donald Trump's speeches caused him to do this. It has to be. It has to be something like that, right? They continue, he has been in and out of prison. The longest sentence handed to him came in 2010 when a federal judge gave him a 55-month term. And it continues, because the hits just keep on coming. And don't worry, Democrats know how to solve this problem before any of this was known. This wasn't reported until well into the evening. Those clips from CNN were from in the afternoon. And his record would indicate, he does not like to go to prison. Well, there's a hell of a shock, isn't it? In 2008, he was convicted of escaping, fleeing from police, and resisting arrest. That's lovely, isn't it? Now, I don't think this guy could pass a background check if Stevie Wonder conducted it. But we're supposed to believe that background checks will make all the difference in the world. And banning guns. I'm sure, you know what, I want to kill a whole bunch of people. I want to shoot up the police if they should they ever come to me for my drug dealing ways. But that would be illegal for me to have a gun. So, yeah, I'll take the heroin and I'll distribute it and the crack and whatever else you got. But I can't have a gun because that would violate the law and that would be morally wrong, I think. But this is the kicker. Along the way, he beat criminal charges on everything from kidnapping to attempted murder. Now, I don't know. I am certainly not an expert on the Constitution, although unlike many Democrats running for president, I have read the document. But I don't think that guy, with that record, is going to a legitimate gun dealer, giving his driver's license and his fingerprints and waiting for the FBI background check before he buys whatever weaponry he ended up having in that house. I suspect that guy might know a guy who can get him whatever kind of gun he wants illegally. Dare I say illegally? Would he do that? Would a guy with a federal or with a warrant, criminal warrant for drug dealing, really go to an arms dealer, essentially? Of course he would. This is outside the system. this is not a failure of law, unless, of course, you look at his multiple convictions and the failure to convict on a couple of those things and think to yourself, why was this guy on the street? How many times do you have to be arrested, and for what do you have to be arrested in order for us as a society to say, you know what, we're all about second chances. We'll give almost anybody a second chance, but you've had four of them, five of them. We can't. You're done. Go to prison. Do not collect $200. Do not pass go. None of that. Go straight to prison. This wasn't a failure of our gun laws. This was a failure of our criminal justice system. And I bet you, I just bet you, that this guy benefited from liberal Philadelphia's liberal prosecutors saying, you know what, we got to go a little easier on this guy. We have too many people. The leftists are always going, we have the prison population, far too many people in prison. We can't have, we're over criminalizing everything. We've got to get people out of prison and back on the voter rolls. They always leave that part out. And they release gems like this. And then you end up with a situation like we had in Philadelphia. Incredibly lucky that no one was killed. Six police officers wounded. And this guy taken alive. I wonder how much time he'll get now. I wouldn't be surprised if it wasn't a lot. There's another story in the Philadelphia Inquirer dated June 23rd, 2019. See, this show does its own research. We have our own research department, which is me. The headline under DA Krasner, more gun possession cases get court diversionary programs. Huh, lenient. You wonder how a guy like that other guy could have ended up on the streets and able to continue dealing drugs and facing a warrant and shooting at cops for 12 or 15 hours or whatever the hell it was. Listen to this from the Philadelphia Inquirer. In June 2018, Malik Jackson Wallace, it's a hyphenated name, was arrested on a Frankfurt street and charged with carrying a concealed gun without a license and a gram of marijuana. It was his first arrest. The Philadelphia District Attorney's Office recommended the Frankfurt man for a court diversionary program called Accelerated Rehabilitative Disposition. Government always comes up with the most messed up names for things, don't they? That put him on 2 years probation. His record could have been expunged if he had successfully completed the program. But Jackson Wallace, 24, was arrested again on gun possession charges in March in Bridesburg. He was released from jail after a judge granted a defense motion for unsecured bail. Now, the left wants people out of prison, released from prison, not put in prison in the first place, and they want to end cash bail to get people like this guy out onto the streets quicker. He was released from jail, blah, 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 and on June 13th, he was arrested a third time. Oh, what did he do now? Jaywalking? Was it parking at a meter that was expired, using Canadian coins in a parking meter? What could it have been? Charged with murder in a shooting 2 days earlier in Frankfurt that killed a 26-year-old man. What? Huh. It's almost like they could have seen this coming and should have seen this coming if the party that tells us that we have to take gun crimes and gun violence very seriously, so much so that law-abiding citizens have to have their rights stripped from them. And this guy arrested three different times. He's like these illegal aliens who are deported, and or arrested, and then, oh, we can't possibly, a sanctuary city, tell the authorities about this, and then released back into the community, and they do more horrible and heinous things. The left really, really wants to decriminalize crime, quite frankly. Jackson Wallace's case has been cited by some on social media as an example of how they say District Attorney Larry Krasner's policies are too lenient and lead to gun violence. No kidding. You elect progressives to uphold the laws, and they skirt the laws. They just impose their own will. In fact, statistics obtained from the DA's office show that in 2018, Krasner's first year in office, 78 gun possession cases were placed on the ARRD program. That's the Accelerated Rehabilitative Disposition Program. Compared with just 12 such diversions in gun possession cases the previous year. Huh, to go from 12 to 78? Before that, it was 11. The year before that, it was 14. And in 2014, it was just 10. Krasner, the very liberal DA who got these people back out onto the streets as quickly as possible, on Tuesday defended his use of ARD in gun cases, saying that his predecessors had done similarly. This, of course, is a lie. They did it. I assume that in the less than a dozen cases in most of those years, those were very specific circumstances. They were not dudes concealed carrying illegal guns and weed and arrested a couple of times for possession of guns. But you see the mentality here. They tell you they're very serious about guns. We've got to get very serious about gun violence. And when they are in positions to do something about it by removing people who are really putting themselves out there as obvious violent criminals, they balk. They walk away. They wash their hands of it. No, no thanks. Yes, hypocrisy is not a strong enough word here. There's something else at going on here. I'm not sure what it is. But they want to strip you of their rights while fighting tooth and nail for the rights of criminals. They want to strip you who've done nothing of your rights while fighting tooth and nail for illegal aliens who violate our laws and violate our sovereignty. Democrats have a lot of priorities. A lot of priorities. None of them are following the law, and not a single one of them have anything to do with protecting you. Speaking of you not being a priority, this story is really disturbing. It's from Montgomery County, Maryland, where I happen to live. And it is, of course, it's a sanctuary county. We're a very, very progressive county. Bunch of rich people live in places like Bethesda and Chevy Chase. And they loved a virtue signal. Oh boy, howdy, do they loved a virtue signal. Well, this story from the Daily Caller: two illegal immigrants have been charged with second-degree rape of the same 11-year-old girl in Maryland. How in the hell is it not first-degree rape? Montgomery County Police arrested Marciano Barrera, whatever the hell, Navidad, 29, soon to be a resident of hell, hopefully, of Damascus, Maryland, and Carlos Placigos Amaya, 28, of Gaithersburg, Maryland, for allegedly raping the same underage girl on multiple occasions, WJLA reports. The victim reported the instances of rape to a school social worker in July. The victim was introduced to Palacios Amaya in September of 2018 through her older brother, according to WJLA. Palacios Amaya then reportedly raped her several times over the following months, authorities say. On one occasion, he used his cell phone to record sexual acts with the 11-year-old, according to court documents. Investigators reportedly found several images of himself and the victim on his cell phone. The victim explained to the social worker that Palacios Amaya would pressure her to stay home from school so he could spend the day with her alone while her parents were away at work. The second alleged rapist, Barrera Navidad, reportedly attended the victim's older brother's birthday party at a trailer park in Germantown, Maryland, in July of 2018, where he allegedly raped the 11-year-old girl in a bedroom. Isn't that lovely? Montgomery County District Court Judge Sherry Koch granted Barrera Navidad, an El Salvadoran national, a $100,000 bond, though he remains incarcerated while awaiting trial. Placigos Amayo, also an El Salvadoran national, was charged with four rape counts and was denied bond. ICE has confirmed both suspects are present in the United States illegally and have been previously deported in 2014 and re-entered the U.S. at an unknown time illegally. They've had run-ins with authorities, and the authorities are instructed under no circumstances in Montgomery County are you to contact Immigration and Customs Enforcement. So these men were deported once, and they're back, and they could have been, should have been deported again, but they weren't. And now an 11-year-old girl has been repeatedly raped by both of them. An 11-year-old cannot consent. So even if they say, well, she was totally into it, these monsters should rot in hell for the rest of eternity. But the problem here is much deeper than this. And this is where I'm going to risk stepping into it. But I don't care because it has to be said. This is what you get when you tell, well, when you allow people into the country illegally, but also when you tell people, don't assimilate. That's the new left thing. Don't assimilate. That is cultural genocide. If you assimilate, you're giving up your identity. And it's not your identity. It's who you are as a person is your identity. And we're not saying you can't do whatever the hell you want, but you should learn the language, you should learn the customs, you should learn the laws, you should learn the social norms. In many of these third world countries, what I just told you about, while disgusting to us, is not uncommon in them, in those countries. Think of countries with arranged marriages with girls as young as 9 years old. It turns your stomach. It is sick. And if you found somebody like that, you would like to beat them to a bloody pulp and you would be justified in those feelings. But when they come to this country, if they're from a culture that allows these sorts of things to go on, and there is no push, no pressure at all to assimilate, not that illegal aliens are going to assimilate, but when there is none whatsoever, people move into these little ethnic enclaves, which are just like, you know, local versions of the hellholes they just left. And they bring with them a lot of the problems that they left behind. Well, I doubt these guys were fleeing this. And if you're into sex with an 11-year-old, you've got serious sick problems. You're not fleeing that you can't have sex with an 11-year-old when you're fleeing a country where you can get away with it. So you have this situation where these people say, well, this is what we do. This is how we are. And people telling them, look, whatever you do and however you are is perfectly valid. We have to celebrate diversity. Diversity is our strength. Okay, if you're going to say something that vapid, that stupid, it should come with a caveat of, but there are some things in your country that are really screwed up and in your culture that aren't welcome here in the country. So don't bring them. Don't get a child bride. Don't have sex with prepubescent children. In fact, don't have sex with anybody under the age of majority. Not really the strictest rules in the world, but the few rules that there are pretty important. But the left will go after people for saying that. You cannot say that there's a rape culture in these countries down there. Look, they just live differently than we do. Meanwhile, every leftist will go on television nonstop saying, there's a rape culture on college campuses. There's a rape culture in this country, and get no pushback whatsoever. But if you say that, hey, you know what, in some third world hellholes, women are worthless and they're looked at as sex objects. So sex raping an 11-year-old is not uncommon and not really even super frowned upon. Maybe not even illegal. You get all sorts of hell thrown at you while they're saying there's a rape culture on college campuses because somebody had two beers. And then in the morning, they changed their mind and said that that person kissed me. And that's violent sexual assault. This person should forever be labeled a sexual predator and expelled from school. No need for a trial. Get them out of here. The hypocrisy is unlimited. And this is a disgusting story that should churn your stomach and should go out as a warning across the country through the national media that, hey, you know what? There are people in this country who do evil things. these illegal aliens are not all law-abiding citizens. The left always says, you know, the illegal immigrant community or the undocumented migrant community, why they commit fewer crimes and crimes at a lower rate than Americans do. First of all, in the Obama administration, they expressly forbid collecting that data. They didn't do that because there was no point to collecting that data. They did that because it was a very important point to collecting that data, and they didn't want you to have it. But every study of prison populations show that there is an overabundance of illegal aliens in our prisons. It's not because they're not breaking the law and they're not in there for being here illegally. So these people are not interested in protecting you. This will not be a national story. Like I said, this should be a warning for parents to say, hey, you know what? In communities, in enclaves of El Salvadorans or Guatemalans or whatever, you might want to put out the word that this is not cool. And if anybody is experiencing anything remotely close like this or something, somebody being super creepy, don't wait till it's too late. Tell the authorities. How many people could be saved by learning about this story? But you won't hear about this story on national media because it doesn't fit the narrative. It might as well have not happened. Individuals are disposable to the left. This 11-year-old girl, whatever. It's just one girl. Big deal. We're fighting for a bigger cause, a bigger purpose. We can ignore this. We can pretend it doesn't happen, and we can get back up on our soapbox and lecture those dirty, filthy, stinking Americans about how illegal immigrants are much better citizens than they are. A good question to ask Democrats would be, since they say this, they repeat that lie that immigrants create or commit fewer crimes than Americans. You say, okay, how many American victims of illegal immigrant crime is enough? Because if we had a secure border and these jackasses were trebucheted deep into the Gulf of Mexico the first time they were here illegally and they weren't able to just walk across the border and come on in, the water's fine, this 11-year-old girl would not have been put through this hell. So are you saying, Democratic candidate for president, that this 11-year-old girl is just the cost of doing business? Her life being essentially ruined by these two perverted monsters. That's just the cost of doing business. That's the cost of compassion. If that's what you're saying, say it. They won't say it. How many Kate Steinleys will be enough before Democrats start saying, hey, wait a second, maybe we should secure our border so people who are inclined to murder people don't just wander in at will. But they won't. They have their priorities, and it sure as hell is not you. I know I've repeated that throughout this show, and I've repeated that throughout this show's history, but that's only because it's true. Holy Frank Tanana, where does the time... It's already been an hour? I have like 30 tabs open of stories, but this gun issue and the reaction to it and the media's spin on this and the worthlessness of Wolf Blitzer in general is just too much to ignore. Anyway, thank you for listening. Don't forget the promo code at GetTheTea.com is my name, Derek, to get free shipping. And the promo code for DoorDash, if you download the app now to your smartphone, your tablet, download the app, and a promo code CALLER, and you get $5, five solid dollars off your first order of $15 or more. You can't beat these deals. We're giving you money. Anyway, thank you for listening. Thanks for telling a friend. Thanks for sharing and all that good stuff. We only grow because of you. I'll be back tomorrow. Don't forget, if you want to enter to win the Liz Wheeler signed book, a copy of Liz Wheeler's signed book, Tipping Points, you've got to email me, Derek@DailyCaller.com, by 10 a.m. today. Have a great Thursday. It is tomorrow. When we next speak, it will be Friday. See you then.
So, but does your plan go, from your perspective, far enough?